The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas. Thank you very much, as always, for joining us. Later on in the show, Ali and Matteo will be here to reflect on what was brilliant Coppa Italia tie between Inter Milan and AC Milan. But we start in the Premier League, which has new leaders after Manchester City thrashed West Brom by 5-0. That makes it 10 straight wins for City now. That puts them 1 point clear of Manchester United, who are in action tomorrow against Sheffield United. Well, let's welcome in, shall we, Craig Burley, Frank LaBeouf and Shaka Hislop to the show. Craig, your tweet was quite apt. There are no easy games in the Premier League.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to say, you have obviously got no mates in that studio anymore. You're sat there on your lonesome. It's a very lonely place, isn't it, Daniel?
Oh, it's
nobody
lovely.
Wants to sit with
lovely.
You at the table.
None of you are moaning about highlights.
So what do you want me to say? They're the best team in the Premier League at the moment by quite a stretch. Okay, the table will say a point. But they're doing it without their best players. Of course, no De Bruyne. They've been playing without a striker. Jesus on the bench, and Aguero's had both COVID and injury issues to deal with. And they're keeping clean sheets. So, okay, I know it was West Brom. And I understand that, but they're playing some really silky stuff. And, you know, whether it's a team at the bottom of the league or a team near the top of the league, they look as if they could take anybody apart at this moment in time.
And Shaka, we saw two more goals for Gundogan today. How does that happen? He's become a goal-scoring machine.
Yeah, listen, I for one had my doubts as to how good Manchester City could be without Kun Aguero. Gabriel Jesus, I think we're all in agreement, isn't a like-for-like replacement for Kun Aguero. And I just didn't think they could be this good without an out-and-out striker. Yet they play this 4-9, which we've seen Pep do before, and players have stepped up. It's Gundogan this week. Next week it might be Raheem Sterling. Whether or not we see Kevin De Bruyne in the next couple of weeks, who knows? Foden comes in and he contributes. It really is a joy to see, especially when you compare City now to how they looked earlier in the season. And just to contrast, and as Craig pointed out, this is against West Brom, let's not get carried away, but City looked so much better against Manchester United recently in the Carabao Cup as opposed to in the league. They just seem to be getting better and better.
Frank, just talking about Gundogan, how do you explain that sort of change in style, that change of efficiency in front of goal?
You know, sometimes, you know, confidence pushes you to your max, and this is what's going on really right now. And De Bruyne is not playing right now. So I guess he knows that he has to take the game in charge and lead his teammates, and he can go forward. We normally can see De Bruyne in that position most of the time. But I don't know, lately I find Gundogan being maybe the best player of Manchester City from far. Always spot on, always in the right place, giving magnificent passes to his teammates, and scoring fantastic goals. So nothing much to say, you know. That team is interchangeable, but you don't see the absence of some players. Don't forget, you know, De Bruyne, the best player of the Premier League, is not playing right now, and you don't see that he's been missed by his teammates.
Manchester City then, Craig, I think obviously favourites to win the Premier League. If I was to offer you City or the field, who would you take?
Well, have you not been listening for the last 3 minutes? I picked City at the start of the season.
No, listen to my question. You didn't hear my question. Would you take Manchester City or the field?
What does that mean?
It means you can have Manchester City or you can have the 19 other teams to win the league.
Well, my point still stands is that Man City are favourites to win it.
No, that's not what I'm asking you. So Manchester City or all the other teams?
Man City.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, seriously.
Well, because I'll give you Manchester United, Leicester City, I'll give you Liverpool, I'll give you Spurs, any one of those other sides to win it instead of Manchester City.
I've picked Man City at the start of the season. I've not changed. So you can give me any team you want. It's not really going to make a difference. But to go back to the point on Gundogan, I think with Cancelo in the team instead of Kyle Walker, and we know he likes to tuck the fullbacks into midfield, I think with Cancelo doing that job, it's allowed even more freedom for Gundogan, because when Cancelo drops into the middle of the park, he hasn't got the defensive speed of Kyle Walker. Not many have. But in terms of a footballer, he's like another natural midfielder. He's like another natural playmaker in there. I mean, he's so good on the ball at dropping the shoulder and playing passes. I mean, it was his ball over the top for Gundogan, for I think it was his first one. And so that's also helped, having Cancelo dropping into the middle of the park from that right-hand side if he plays right back, because that's not a full-back stepping in, really. It's a very, very talented player who can also play in the middle of the park. And I think that's give Gundogan a little bit of freedom as well. I suppose some people would talk about the offside, but it really didn't make a big difference in the game. I think the clutch around this is there's been so much criticism, Dan, of officials, of assistants in the last few weeks, particularly the Liverpool-Man United game, where there were so many clear offsides and they kept the flag down for too long. And I think this was in Sean Massey's mind, who's an excellent official and has been for a long time. Clearly she got it wrong, right? Clearly, that's stating the obvious. But I think she was reluctant to let the play go too long, because in her mind it was a clear offside. Mm. On top of that, then West Brom stopped a little bit, and obviously when VAR looked at it, they were onside. There's no other choice to give it. It's a goal, and it's the old adage. And I do kind of feel sorry for the players, because when you see the flag going up, sometimes your instinct is to stop. But you got to play to that whistle. But that's sort of explaining why she flagged when she did, because there's been some real outcry recently of offsides being like 2 yards off, and they've let the play go for another 20 seconds. Mm. And there's been a big furore about it. And I think she got caught out in that circumstance. It did not affect the outcome.
Yeah, just to be clear, the reason the goal was given, as you mentioned, Craig, was that the referee didn't blow the whistle. Hence, the goal was stood. Hence, they could check VAR and see it's onside.
Yeah. Yeah, he waited, yeah.
But Frank, from a defensive point of view, you could see everyone just stop for that moment when the flag went up.
Yeah, that's the problem for me, because, you can be very critical towards West Brom during that game. And if you don't mind, I will just after that. But it's true that all the players, they stopped because they really thought and they saw the referee, you know, lifting his flag, you know, for an offside. And so they stopped just right now, and they didn't play anymore. And even I think even Cancelo scores the goal because he's really relaxed and he really knows that it won't be a lot because the ref lifts a flag up. So you can see now, Cancelo is very easy. And he goes in the top corner and they say after it's a goal. Just for me, just one thing on West Brom, you know, because City, it was an easy game. It was a kind of a training session. I just want to know, you know, when you're West Brom, you know, you can be named as a typical English team. We're going to play against Manchester City. Why do you want to play tiki-taka in your half, you know, and you want to pretend you're going to be as good as Manchester City, where you're going to be smashed every time, you know, you're going to lose the ball? You're saying that there is no easy game in England. Yes, there is no easy game when some teams don't pretend they're not who they try to be. West Brom is a typical English club, an English team who has to fight hard like English know how to do, with a fighting spirit. We lost that fighting spirit. Everybody tries to play tiki-taka and they are smashed 5-0. What the satisfaction of playing like Manchester City or the Spanish way when you're a typical English team? I don't understand that. And I just want to mention, guy is Sam Allardyce, Big Sam, and he's known for fighting spirit, not tiki-taka.
That was West Brom's 31st game on a Tuesday. They have never won. in the Premier League on a Tuesday. I know. What a stat. You love it, Craig. I can see.
Wow. Meanwhile, still Man City over the field. Still Man City.
Arsenal. Oh, they got revenge for that FA Cup defeat against Southampton by going to St Mary's and beating them by 3-1, meaning that they are out of the bottom 10 for the first time in a very, very long time. Southampton, meanwhile, slipping down to 11th. Hey, what's going on with Arsenal? It's going all right, isn't it, Craig?
I have to say I was had both games on, but I had more of an eye on the City game. But what I would say is that at least showing the stomach for the fight now, because they went behind early to that sloppy set piece, really. And I think, I might be wrong, but I think it was Pepe who was getting a start, who was sleeping at the edge of the box when I think it was Armstrong that came in and scored. But you know, at some point early in the season, Arsenal would probably have folded at this point. Yeah, you can just see Arsenal sleeping at the edge of the box. Great finish from Armstrong. But they fought back. And, you know, the goal that... One of the goals when McCarthy, the goalkeeper, came out was just crazy. But, you know, some good finishes. Obviously, Pepe getting his goal because he's had some criticism. Lacazette played a great ball for young Saka as well, which we're just going to see here. What's the play I'm talking about with... This is a Shaka moment where the keeper just loses his mind. You know. And
Shaka wouldn't come off his line that far. He'd be tired.
The only time Shaka goes that... When Shaka goes that far, he claims air miles. Trust me. So what I would say is it was a good fighting performance away from home against a decent team. And they really dug that one out. And maybe early in the season... That would not have happened. So, yeah, things are just looking a little bit better for that man.
Yeah, 5 wins in 6 now in the Premier League, Frank.
Yeah, and I'm very happy. You know, you can see some players, you know, getting their confidence back. Lacazette is in the leadership right now, and it works very well. Alongside, you know, very young players, Smith Rowe and Saka have been absolutely fantastic, you know, very useful. And they stepped up, you know, to make sure that the Gunners are back into the maybe something good for the end of the season. And Partey was back to the into the first 11 and did well. I wasn't very convinced about the defense, I have to say, and it's more because the Saints were maybe clumsy, maybe I don't know, not really into that game that Arsenal didn't concede any more goal. And maybe Leno was, because we have to congratulate one goalkeeper if we don't congratulate McCarthy, Leno did the job. But it could have been maybe the other way around. I think it was an open game, and maybe the Gunners believed more than the Saints that they could win that game, and they did.
Last word on this to you, Shaka. Make it count.
I was really impressed with Arsenal throughout. Lacazette clean through the goalkeeper, keeper saves, and then Southampton go up the other end just about and score. And you just thought, here we go again. But Arsenal proved to be anything but. I thought they were dominant against a very good Southampton team, even if they're slipping from the heights that they realised earlier this season. For me, never looked in any trouble. And I'm not sure how often I've been able to say that over a prolonged period with Arsenal.
More Premier League talk to come on Extra Time, where Shaka gets the opportunity to talk about West Ham. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What a game in the Coppa Italia. Inter Milan beating AC Milan by 2-1. Zlatan scoring, Zlatan getting sent off, Lukaku with the penalty, and then Christian Eriksen in the 98th minute in injury time scoring what proved to be the winning free kick. Let's welcome in Ali Moreno and Matteo Bonetti to the show. Ali, what a cup tie this was.
Yes, it was. And it was one cup tie, the red card, and then a different cup tie after the red card. This is what I would say about Zlatan. When he gets involved with Romelu Lukaku, he had nothing to do with the play. It was a foul by Romagnoli down the right-hand side, but then the back-and-forth stars and headbutting and the thing and this and that and the posturing, and Romelu Lukaku's telling Zlatan that I'll wait for you inside, and we could hear in the microphone. The thing that I don't quite understand is, are they really going to fight? No. Huh? They're not really going to fight, are they? And so why are we getting caught up in all of this? And I'm thinking Lukaku has no business getting caught up in this. Zlatan, I think, is kind of playing Lukaku here. But in the end, he kind of played himself because he gets himself a yellow card, just as Lukaku does. And what happens is that the game changes right at the moment in which Zlatan Ibrahimovic is sent off and with a red card. And at that point, it was hang on and hang on and hang on. Milan, the moment that Lukaku takes a penalty kick and scores and it's 1-1, it was only a matter of time. In fact, it was actually surprising that it took so long for Inter to score that second goal. Give credit to Tata Rusano, who I thought was excellent, but Milan had no real outlet, no option in keeping the ball. They had no chance whatsoever in withholding Inter, and in the end, I think Inter go through, and deservedly so.
It was interesting, wasn't it, Matteo? Because at halftime, you thought, wow, Zlatan's really got under Lukaku's skin here. Let's see what's going to happen in the second half, how Lukaku's going to react. But in the end, it's Zlatan who does something stupid and gets sent off. Very much the villain of the piece in the end.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous as well from Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He had no reason to charge in from behind. Soft yellow, whatever, it doesn't matter. Just don't give the referee even any reason to make that call. There was actually Brahim Diaz there who was about to put in a challenge from behind. So Zlatan Ibrahimovic, as Ali said correctly, had no business getting into it with Romelu Lukaku. Lukaku was actually nervous at first because of the physical challenge from Alessio Romagnoli. And then there's been some words picked up by the media already of what Ibrahimovic exactly said. There was a clarification and a confirmation that Lukaku was angry about comments about his mother going into the tunnels. So some heated words, but not really the sort of professionalism that you would expect in the end from the leader of the team and someone in Zlatan Ibrahimovic who has actually done really well in that role so far.
It's taken a year, but finally Christian Eriksen makes an impact, Matteo.
Yeah, and what a moment for him. Honestly, there isn't any player who needed this any more than Christian Eriksen at Inter. He has hardly been on the pitch. When he has, he's been subbed in the 90th minute. Once upon a time, this guy was one of the best midfielders, attacking midfielders in European football. So to see him marginalized and so far out of the project, I think is an absolute shock because he's a kind of player that Inter didn't really have before. Now he's coming in, he's playing as a deep-lying playmaker, which he's never done in his career. So I think Inter just saying, right, we're paying this guy €7.5 million a season. We have to find a way to get some pennies out of him since no one can take on this massive contract. He comes in out of position, gets a chance for the winner in the 97th minute and a brilliant free kick. That's exactly what Tottenham fans saw from so many years from Christian Eriksen. So you have to feel great for the guy. It's been a long time coming.
Ali, I thought what was telling very much at the end were the celebrations from Inter. You could see how much, obviously, beating AC Milan meant to them, but the manner of the victory as well, coming so dramatically late on. You just feel, and a lot of people feel already, that Inter are favourites to win the league, obviously their main priority this season, that these sort of matches can continue to bond this group.
And it's so interesting, and I go back to the red card by Zlatan. Up until that point, the narrative would have been, this is the sort of match that would have given Milan the confidence to know that they can go on and do this thing, win Serie A, win the title, win Coppa Italia, because these are the sort of matches that validate the sort of work that you've been pulling off up until this point. Then the red card happens,
and the storyline changes, and then the narrative changes. And now it's Inter that you can say, what character, what temperament, what strength. They've showed us something that they didn't show us in the past. You see Lukaku score, you see Christian Eriksen coming off the bench. By the way, I'll say this about Christian Eriksen. He came on the game in the 88th minute. It's not like Antonio Conte was saying, all right, we're going to lean on this guy to make the difference. In fact, I would also say that Antonio Conte sees the ball go in, he celebrates, and then in the back of his mind, oh no, do I have to play this guy again? Do I have to put him in the field now? Is that what this means? The truth is that this sort of match for Inter, yes, goes a long way in pushing this team forward. Not only in what they do in terms of the scoreline and in terms of advancing in the competition, but what they do in terms of what happens inside that locker room and understanding, look, we had a letdown last weekend, but we are the stronger team here. We have the inside path, the inside track to winning this whole thing. And it's up to us if we deliver with the sort of players that we have, with the sort of talent that we have, with the sort of experience that we have, we should win this title. Not only am I talking about Coppa Italia, bigger picture, I am talking about Serie A, and I think that's what Inter is going after.
Where does this leave Milan, Matteo?
I think it drops Milan right back down to earth. We were wondering, could they do what they did really since the post-lockdown era, where they went undefeated from March up until that loss against Juventus a few weeks ago. And really in the second half of the season, with the injuries, the, you know, COVID coming with positive cases throughout the Milan lineup, it was unrealistic for them to continue what really seemed like a massive overreach, a massive overachievement. Remember, before the season, I think a lot of Milan fans would have signed on the dotted line just for the fourth place. So Scudetto talks were completely out of the picture. I think Inter are the favorites to win the Scudetto. They have no European football to focus on midweek and get the players tired and potential injuries in what already is the most congested calendar of all time. And they have the deeper squad. And I think 10 days ago, whatever it was against Juventus, that was the best version of Inter. We didn't quite get that now, but we got this, you know, a team that seems to believe and a team that seems to have gotten over that crazy situation where Conte was insulting the referees and getting banned from a few days ago. It's strange because I can't think of another side, Dan, that maybe will win the Scudetto, that the manager's been this criticized and the team has been this criticized for their style of play. Listen, it might not be the most beautiful, but if they get it done and if they win the Scudetto, it's still a massively successful season.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. More from Matteo on the latest edition of the Serie Awesome podcast that drops later this week. Be sure to check it out.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Just 24 hours then after sacking Frank Lampard, Chelsea have a new manager in the form of Thomas Tuchel taking over. And he'll be looking ahead to the match against Wolves on Wednesday. Well, Craig and Frank are still with us. Craig, Thomas Tuchel, do you like this appointment?
Well, we'll find out, Dan, is the answer. I just looked at that graphic, second and third in the Bundesliga. That's not going to wash at Chelsea. It's big boy stuff now. Abramovich brings somebody in with his reputation, and he's expecting a turnaround. You know, no, I'm not suggesting this season, but I'm saying over the course of his contract. So, look, it's kind of similar to when he went in at Dortmund. There is an underperforming squad that is better than what it is. And so the similarities are kind of there. But we're going to find out now because, as the graphic said, he was a German Cup winner. He then went to France, won a lot of things, but he was expected to do so. Now he's up against some of the heaviest hitters in European football, in Manchester City, Liverpool, potentially Man United. and we'll find out if we can get this deep squad working or not.
Frank?
Yeah, you know, I followed him just before he signed for Paris Saint-Germain, and it was not a very easy task when he was in charge of Paris Saint-Germain, because many stars and you know, the policy of the club, the hierarchy wasn't really established there. It was a hard time for him. I'm really looking forward to seeing how he's going to handle, you know, the Chelsea players, the pressure, the English pressure. But I'm sure he can be the good man at the right place. So let's see. And it's going to be maybe his last chance to be successful at the top level. Because for me, he wasn't successful for Paris Saint-Germain. He could have done better. He has to be successful for Chelsea.
What's his objective between now and the end of the season, Craig? Would you say top four?
Yeah, absolutely. Put a run together, get in the top four. I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. That's for sure. There's teams that are going to drop points. His squad is good enough. And in some sense, that was one of the reasons of the Lampard downfall. Because, you know, when this board, who were getting seeds of doubt growing within their heads for months now, when they were hearing after a couple of stumbles, well, it's, you know, from Lampard himself, well, you know, it's a bit ludicrous to be us talking about titles and challenging when he spent all this money, when they've got a big squad, when Leicester are up there, when Tottenham are hovering around, when West Ham now, after today, have moved into top four. They didn't want to hear that. And Abramovich, I think, believes he's got a squad to push, and he's got a good enough bunch of guys with the players that he brought in, added to the younger players that were there. And he didn't want to hear that. And he wants somebody to come in that's going to say, OK, I can get this working. I understand the players. Some of them are no better than others, but I can get results. And I do think it is a possibility with this squad to get in the top four. And I don't think it actually should be that difficult.
Craig, what do you say to those who suggest that he should have had more time, citing someone like Jurgen Klopp, and saying, look, side by side, these records are pretty similar when it comes to their first 18 months in charge. Yet, obviously, Chelsea quick to get rid of Lampard.
Listen, stop. The idiots out there putting Frank Lampard and Jurgen Klopp on the same pedestal. Even if their records are similar, Jurgen Klopp has got a body of work over many a year to fall back on. He's a tried and trusted manager that Liverpool knew 99.99% was going to take them in the right direction. We cannot be having this conversation with these two managers. Look, I say this to those people out there whinging and moaning. Frank Lampard, as we speak now, Chelsea are sitting 10th in the league. Frank Lampard had won two out of the last eight in the Premier League. That's not going to cut it. On top of the rhetoric that I was talking about not expecting to be challenging, these things just sowed the seeds in the minds of the Chelsea hierarchy. On top of that, there's been some reports, true or not, about some players not being happy, but you hear that all the time. On top of that, he's a rookie manager. Now, Chelsea were getting worried that this top four was getting further and further away under his stewardship. That's just factual. Now, he will say, like every manager, I could have turned this around. But they didn't feel that he could. And I certainly didn't see any real reason or any significant action that they were going to turn that around over a longer period. So look at the club. Look at the history. Roman Abramovich, 18 years or so as owner of this football club. That's now 14 full-time managers. You do the maths, right? Lampard had a reasonable period by some of the other managers that have been sacked. He's a rookie manager. They were unsure about him. They decided to change direction. There should be no sympathy there, because this is what Chelsea do. This is what Abramovich does. And by the way, only Manchester United in his time as owner of Chelsea Football Club have got the same amount of titles. That is five. And that was under Sir Alex Ferguson. So he knows this brings him success. Whether it might not bring him popularity, it brings him success.
Frank, do you feel Frank Lampard should have been given more time? Would you agree with Craig?
You know, knowing the club, knowing Mr. Abramovich and the chairman, Bruce Buck, you know, I was pretty sure that it would be the end of Frank very, very, very soon. It's an industry. It's a business. It's no time for empathy, sympathy and pity, let's say. And I'm sad. I'm sad for Frank because I would have because he's a legend of the club. I would have him to have more time. But I was sure that he wouldn't get that time. There will be an emergency of change very soon because the club needs to get the results and needs to get high to go higher in the table. So that was for sure that he will leave very soon. And maybe he would have needed more time in another club, both top club like Chelsea. I'm very surprised that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got that time. I'm not surprised that Klopp got that time because he's an experienced coach, and as Craig said, he has all the knowledge to and the experience to get the team playing better and getting more results. But it was a question mark for Frank. It was a question mark for Frank, and it's maybe, and we'll see soon if it was the right decision or not.
It goes back to a comment that Lampard made when Villas-Boas was sacked. It's doing the rounds now. You know, Villas-Boas played his cards. It didn't work out, and maybe this job just came too soon for him. I think that sentiment would probably be around Frank Lampard. Let me just touch quickly on yesterday's show. And Frank just mentioned Ole Gunnar Solskjaer there, and this is driving me nuts. It's like saying, well, why is Lampard not been given time, but Solskjaer's been given time, and look what's happened? What am I missing here? What am I missing here in terms that he's been given time? Somebody tell me what has happened. Currently, as we speak, Manchester United are out of the Champions League. They're out of the Carabao Cup, been beaten by Man City. They're now second in the league, which is not a bad position to be in. But I remind the sycophants that are on this show that Brendan Rodgers in 2013, 2014 was already ordering the open-top bus to go around Liverpool. They were three games away from winning the title, and they blew it. So why are our pundits on here on a regular basis talking about the saviour that is Solskjaer when we're only halfway through the season, when Liverpool blew it with three games to go? I ask you this question. Was that season a success or a failure for Liverpool? The answer is the latter. So to suggest that Solskjaer's been given time and everything's hunky-dory is a nonsense. And please, please, please stop calling all these managers by their first names. It's driving me nuts. The familiarity is doing my head in. Ole and Frank and Pep, let's pull ourselves back a little bit from this friendly punditry and look at it how it should be. Judged at the end of the season. And by the way, we're only halfway through. So go tomorrow, get some more sycophant pundits on here that tell me trophies are handed out after 19 games, because they're not.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Well, Ollie's Manchester United in action on Wednesday, playing host to Sheffield United. Meanwhile, Tommy, of course, in charge of Chelsea's first game at Stamford Bridge as they'll take on Wolves. And then Thursday, we'll see Jose take on Jurgen.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Watford 6 points off Norwich City at the top of the Championship as they could only manage a 0-0 draw away against Millwall. Meanwhile, Bristol City are to eighth in the table. They beat Huddersfield by 2-1. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's edition of ESPN FC. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Lots to talk about. Until then, goodbye. So lonely here for extra time. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. Frank LaBeouf and Shaka Hislop, though, are here virtually to keep me company. What a beautiful moment. Hey, good question. I like this one. What are the dressing room conversations like after you lose because a key player gets a red card like Zlatan did? Of course, very much a turning point in the Milan derby today. AC Milan losing in the end by 2-1 against Inter. Frank, what's it like? Does the player get sent off apologise?
Well, I had once to apologize to my teammates when we lost against Leeds because I was stupidly red carded. So, yeah, you can feel guilty, and players, some other players can be, you know, sometimes upset towards you, and it's acceptable, you know. We all play together, we lose together, but sometimes you don't need to be crazy and to make stupid mistakes to make sure you're going to lose. So, yeah, it's a strange atmosphere because some players things they don't have the right to do to scream. Some right. Others, they think they're leaders, so they have to. But, you know, it depends on the players.
Shaq, do you think Craig apologised when he got sent off in the World Cup?
Absolutely not. Has Craig ever apologised? Let's be honest. Has Craig ever apologised for anything?
But Shaka, you know Zlatan, no. You know Zlatan well. You feature heavily in his autobiography. Do you think he would apologise?
I think there's more chance of Craig apologising. No, for getting sent off in the World Cup in 98. In all honesty, I don't see it. And to your original question, I think when players of that character get sent off, when you go back to the dressing room, you've lost. Nobody says a word.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get sent off?
I think it would be more. I think it would be more kind of, okay, guys, I'm sorry. Okay, guys, I'm sorry. I got sent off. It was stupid. I'm sorry. But if one of you say something, I smash him in the face. That would be more kind of Zlatan.
It's going quickly. Shaka, did you ever get sent off?
Yeah, I've been sent off twice.
Did you apologize?
No, not that I recall. One time I got sent off playing against Chelsea. I'm not sure if Frank played, but I was one of three West Ham players who got sent off on the day.
Wow.
So it was a whole lot of apologising going on.
That's just like at FIFA, where you just get everyone sent off so the game's suspended. Frank, I know we're just going on assumptions at the moment, but do you think the youth at Chelsea should be worried about a Tuchel appointment? Or is there enough quality to warrant game time without Lampard and Morris's influence?
Well, it's a hard question. You know, I think it will be changes. I think Tuchel will try to find his first 11. I don't know. You have so many young players. Tuchel will need some youth, and he will use them. He had no problem with Paris Saint-Germain putting some young players when he needed. He's going to be the real leader. I think he will have all the choices. And if he feels that somebody, a young player, needs to be put in, he will do without hesitation, I'm pretty sure.
Shaka, do you have any stories of playing matches in the snow? Did it make a goalkeeper's job easier or harder?
I honestly don't recall playing any games in the snow. Certainly not as a professional. I don't remember playing any, even in college when I was here in the US. I just didn't.
Frank?
I played, you know, in Strasbourg, where you have the snow almost every winter, and you have a half-frozen pitch as well, and we played because the field wasn't heated. So it was pretty much a nightmare. But I played a Champions League game in Tromsø, which is the north of Norway, and we lost 3-2. It was pretty much a nightmare, but we had fun. At the same time, we had fun. We lost, but we won 7-0 second leg. But it was fun, you know, because we all have good souvenirs about that.
Frank, do teams try to have people that can speak multiple languages around to help players coming in, or do they expect the players to learn the language quickly? I've heard Portugal is good at helping with language where places like Italy are not accommodating.
Yeah, that's true. Because Portuguese, they normally speak English. They have the tendency of trying to be more open than in Italy or France. Well, in France, most players, they only speak French, which is quite a nightmare for foreign players who come over. It's always good to try to make any effort when you come to a country to quickly speak the language that you should speak in the dressing room. I remember Denis Suárez, hammering the Italians, Di Matteo, Zola and Viali, saying, here it's England, it's Chelsea, we speak English. Because they had the tendency to speak Italian. And that's only fair. Paris Saint-Germain, for example, I'm pretty much sure that Neymar didn't speak French. Paredes doesn't speak French. They all speak Spanish.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad for me.
Frank, did you speak English before you went to England?
Well, I had the basics because at school I learned for like 5 years English, which wasn't very efficient, but enough for me to be understood and to barely understand the English, because we have a problem with the accent.
Yeah.
We understand the
scouts. So how did you learn it, Frank? Did you have a teacher when you went to Chelsea?
No, I read newspapers and I was watching the movies with subtitles.
Wow.
And I was listening and I was, Craig is saying, Frank, he was talking, because it was for me the process of learning English, asking questions all the time with other players, because I wanted to learn quickly to be able to, to speak about any subject.
It's hard. It's hard learning a foreign language when you're old, Frank. Mm. What was the hardest bit for you?
Are you asking me the question? What was hardest
yeah,
for me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was the hardest thing about English that annoyed you the most, that you couldn't get your head around?
It's still a problem for me, because, we have the Latin reflexes on the way we speak, on how to put the words.
Yes.
When you say the red car, we say a car red, and it's always difficult because sometimes you put some verb at the end of the sentence and it's always complicated to make sure to get it right. Well, I have the chance now, I don't really think, and maybe I should think more when I speak English, it comes quite automatically, but it's a real nightmare. When I don't do the show for like 4 or 5 days,
yeah,
I have to seek for some words.
I bet.
It's a nightmare.
But fortunately, yeah, your pronunciation of focus has improved over the years.
Yeah, then I'm very sorry about that. It's a friend of mine. Take that, say concentrate. You use another word, but never say, I don't want to say it, because I'm always wrong, afraid to get it wrong. Focus.
There you go. And Shaka, how's learning Spanish going? Because you were doing that in the car, weren't you, on your drives to work?
Yeah, I gave up on that.
Good.
That'd make any sense.
Yeah, yeah. it's tough. Frank, if we're going to have the insufferable conversation of best player ever, why do we never include Zlatan? I mean, I feel his contributions to his teams are on the same level as Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah, you're right. He made an influence everywhere, every club that he went to, and he's I guess a charismatic player. I mean, you like him or you hate him, but you cannot ignore him, that's for sure. Now, I guess because maybe he didn't win a Champions League, that's it. He played for Sweden, didn't win a World Cup, didn't have a chance to be in the last four maybe of the World Cup. It's why maybe he's not considered as a top player. I do consider him as very much as a top player for many, many reasons. I saw him scoring goals from every team that he played for in a way that I've never seen another player doing. Mm. So for me, he's a top player.
Shaka is a man who features heavily in his autobiography. What do you feel about Zlatan?
I think Zlatan is an incredible talent, really is. But as Frank mentioned, you know, didn't win the Champions League, went to Barcelona, and because didn't fit into Pep's style, that just kind of came apart to the seams really quickly. And despite everything that he did at club level, I think those two things kind of stand against him.
Yeah.
I also think that playing in the same era, the silly as Ronaldo and Messi, a lot of incredibly talented players don't get the kind of respect that they deserve, or maybe would have had they been playing 20 years ago, or maybe will 20 years in the future. It's just been that kind of a period because of those two.
And surely another thing which is a negative in this argument, Shaka, is if you think of all the players that have scored goals past you, Zlatan didn't on the biggest stage.
Well, that's absolutely correct, Daniel.
Yep.
Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, I allowed Ronaldo to score early
yes.
on in his Manchester United career, and me to give him the kind of confidence
of
I'm sure he needed. But I wouldn't afford Zlatan that same courtesy.
From Xhaka's starring role against Sweden in the World Cup to Xhaka's former side, who are fourth now in the Premier League. West Ham, Shaq. Blimmin' heck.
Yeah. Unbelievable, right? So, last week, I was talking to Seb with the top 10, and he was talking about, you know, the top 10 and all the comments that we get as a result. And I'm like, listen, I'm telling you, if West Ham win, I'm going to put them in this week.
Wow.
That will send people over the edge. So I'm ready. So
yeah.
Be warned, the regulars know I'm putting West Ham in. I don't care. I don't know if I'll get the chance to do it again. So I'm doing it this week.
Did you watch the game, Shaka?
That's all that matters. Of course I watched the game.
Yeah. Is Thomas Souček West Ham's best player? All the media focuses on the Englishman Rice.
I still think the most important player is Michael Antonio.
Hey, there he is.
Hit two posts today again, had an assist. Souček has been unbelievable since he come in. But still, if you take it one player out of that team and would have the biggest impact, I still think it's Michael Antonio.
Final question, Shaka. Has any team approached you in the past about being a consultant, a scout for US players with a sudden surge in youngsters who have emerged in the last 18 months? Would you be interested? Also, would Frank be interested in such a role?
Well, nobody's ever approached me about that. I've never given it any thought. And in the 5 seconds since you just asked that question, I'm not sure I would be interested.
Oh, traveling around the world, looking at youngsters, Shaq, that's all right. Sounds like you sort of deal. Put it on the old expenses, you're fine.
You know how much I enjoy coming in. Who's going to keep you company on Sundays, Dan?
Well, that's I need some company at the moment. Exactly. Frank?
I wouldn't leave you on Sundays, Dan.
Okay.
I wouldn't leave you.
Frank, would you be interested?
No, nobody asked me. Never thought about doing it. And I'm so pleased to come on TV alongside Shaka Islav, Dan Thomas, Craig Burley, yes, even Craig Burley, Don Hutchinson, and so many others. Now, I'm very pleased on what I do.
Why are you listening,
everyone? I'm so happy. Why do you want me to go all around the world? I traveled enough. And I'm very happy. I have one question for Shaka.
Uh-oh.
Shaka,
uh-oh.
Did you play for West Ham before Bernard Lama, the French goalkeeper, or after him?
After him. I arrived.
Because where?
I arrived and he left a few months after.
Okay, because Bernard Lama is from French Guyana, north of Brazil, you know, and a fantastic goalkeeper. So I guess West Ham, they had wonderful goalkeepers, you know, from the area.
God, what a boring way to end the extra time. Anything else, Frank?
It's not. You don't have
right.
to be critical
That's
and
right,
you don't have to be critical. Thank you. You don't have to be critical and nasty about everything, Dan. You can be nice just for 30 seconds.
Just say you love us.
I
wasn't hugged enough as a child. I just take it out on everyone else. It's a small man syndrome as well.
I'd like to finish by saying, Dan, I think West Ham are going to win the Champions League next season.
Okay, Kat, now we come to
that's
one
how you're ending. That's how you're ending ESPN and your time, Shaq.
That's you lost credibility. You lost everything.
Kat, that's it.